Monday, November 28th, and this is Geek Nights. Today we talk about, well, sort of nothing, because it was kind of a crazy weekend since, you know, no Thanksgiving show and a whole bunch of stuff, so we just keep talking about stuff for about 45 minutes. Enjoy.
Let's do this.
So, I'm walking to work from the train station.
Okay. Right?
And, I'm on the south side of the library near Bryant Park, you know, walking west. And I hear a scream from across the street.
All right.
So, it was kind of this weak-ass scream, like, eek! And I thought it was just, like, some horse-playing kids or something like that. You know, that's what it sounded like, was, you know, just some people fooling around, you know, maybe a guy, like, you know, messing with his girlfriend or something, right? But I hear it again. So, of course, I turn my head to the left to see what's up. And I see a lady, or a girl, I couldn't really tell because I only looked for, like, a half second at this point, like, on the ground. And I'm like, oh, maybe someone pushed her or something, right? You know? And a half second later, I realized, wait a minute. And there's a guy with a purse running. And I'm like, is that a freaking purse snatcher? There's no way. Who would be so dumb to snatch a purse these days in a crowd of people? I can't believe it is a purse snatcher.
Okay. Did someone stop him?
Three guys immediately, like, grabbed him and, like, smashed him into this car. And I was like, ah, oh, yeah, well, that's expected right there, yeah. But it was just so amazing that someone could be so dumb. It's like, all right, there's people who are dumb. And it's like, okay, that guy's dumb, but I understand his dumbness.
You don't read FARC.
No, I see the things on FARC, but I mean, you see something on FARC like, guy sets himself on fire attempting stupid stunt, right?
And you're you see things on FARC like, guy sets himself on fire because he lit a match to look inside of a gas tank.
All right.
Or guy robs a store with no weapons in broad daylight when there's a police officer in the store.
See, but things like that, I can at least understand what the person who was doing it was thinking.
Really? So why did the person who robbed a store in broad daylight with no gun and there was a cop there, what was he thinking?
He was thinking, one, he probably didn't have a weapon. Two, he wanted to rob the store. Three, he thought we'd get away with it. And four, he didn't notice the cop before he robbed
the
store.
No, the cop was a uniformed officer standing there.
Did he not notice the cop? He must have not noticed the cop.
No, he was just dumb. The cop just walked over and got him, put handcuffs on him.
He must have not seen the cop in the store. There's no way he could rob the store after seeing the cop right there.
It was a small store.
I think he didn't see the cop. There's no way anyone could be so dumb. But anyway, the point is, this purse snatcher was just the dumbest guy. It's like, oh my God, it was hysterical. And then like a little crowd formed, you know? And I was like, you know, hey, I took a few pictures. And then I was kind of hoping they would kind of bug me about taking pictures, so I get a little, you know. But they didn't bug me.
Wait, so this is the story you've been talking up all night. This
I saw
is the story.
A purse snatcher.
It's a good story, but you were talking it up so much.
Because it's so rare, and it's so...
It's not really... I mean, I was mugged once. It's not like...
Imagine if you were standing there when the dumb guy used a match to look in the gas tank. That's what this was like. You're standing there watching FARC. It doesn't happen every day.
Yeah, it does happen every day, just in a different place.
Doesn't happen every day to you looking at it.
Nah, but I read about it every day.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was... And then, I was standing over there, you know, and I got pictures of this guy lying on the ground, you know. I put a big pound on it eventually, but the cop who showed up when someone ran to go get him was like, what are you looking at me?
You should have taken his picture.
I did.
All right, what do you do?
Oh, so the cop was like, who saw it? So I'm like, oh, I saw it. Oh, shit. I don't want to be a witness.
What? Are you kidding? You being a witness is like your dream. You'd just be on the stand like, blah, blah, blah.
No, so some lady's like, I saw it. I'm like, all right, I can go to work. So I went to work.
I would have rather been witnessing than working.
Yeah. Frankly, though, if I was going to be a perfectly honest witness, I didn't actually see the guy take the purse. I saw that guy with the purse, I saw the lady on the ground, and I saw three guys apprehend him.
That's fine, so you say that. Maybe it wasn't a purse snatcher. Maybe those three guys were in cahoots.
No. I'm 100% sure this guy was a purse snatcher.
But did you see him snatch the purse?
I saw him with the purse running.
Ah.
I heard the scream, and I saw the lady on the ground. I think that doesn't leave much room for reasonable doubt.
We'll see. That's for the courts to decide.
It is for the court to decide. Let's let them do so. But I got some pictures. But I learned a couple lessons about picture taking. Number one, don't have the camera way in the backpack. If I would have gotten it out sooner, I could have taken pictures of his weak-ass kung fu. He basically, the only fight he put up was, you know, trying to run away and you know, get out of the grappling of the guys. He managed to get his hands free, and he did, like, a little flurry of blows up into the air.
Nah.
And if I would have had a picture of that, it would have been hilarious. But I couldn't get the camera out fast enough. The second thing I learned is, besides keeping the camera in your pocket ready to go at any moment, you know, is just hold the button down and take a zillion pictures. Because
you can always crop things out later in
Photoshop.
Because
it's a digital camera, and I have so many megabytes of space in there. I took 4 pictures. Because,
God.
Number one, I took a picture, right? And then I looked around to try to get another shot. And then people started milling about in my way. And I was just like, screw, damn it. So from now on, if I ever see anything crazy, I'm just going to be like, whip it out. Click, 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 click.
Yeah, I noticed you got the camera sitting there at arm's length right now.
Yeah, if you want to look at the pictures, they're pretty funny.
See, it was a good story, but you talked it up so much all night. Like, I got this crazy story, and it's awesome.
You know, if something like that happens, it doesn't happen every day. It's like a once-in-a-year thing. See, you got
to,
you know.
But honestly, if that happened to me, I would have come home, and I would have said, hey, so I saw a purse snatcher. Yeah.
It's special for me.
I wouldn't have said... Yeah. Well, I grew up in Detroit, so...
It's special for me because, you know, not only is it not something you see every day, but I didn't think purse snatchers still existed.
I grew up in the land of not just purse snatchers, but, like, outright muggers.
I mean, it's like, and if there was a purse snatcher, you snatch a purse late at night in a dark alley where there's no one else around. You don't snatch a purse on a crowded street as people are walking to work.
It depends.
God damn.
If you snatch a purse in a crowd and you just keep walking like nothing's up and stick it under your trench coat, by the time she goes, hey, someone stole my purse, there's no way to know it was you.
No, because this guy first had to wrestle it away from the woman. This isn't like a pickpocket. A pickpocket,
no, you
got to
be like
understand.
Bender. You got to wait for the person walking by with the purse that's hanging by a thread.
Yeah, okay, that's good. But this guy, actually the purse, I was pretty surprised, was freaking huge. It was like half a suitcase, man. It had these giant handles. I was like, whoa, there must have been something really good in there. Or this guy needed some serious money to buy drugs or something to make him do something so dumb.
Generally, I've seen that the bigger purse someone has, the less money they actually have in it.
Yeah, I don't know what was in there, but there must have been something good that he knew was in there for him to take it so dumbly.
I'm glad I don't need to carry enough stuff on me to require a purse. I carry a tiny wallet that has everything I need to live.
I get too many gizmos now, but I can fit them in all my pockets, so it's all good.
See, I don't have so many gizmos, and usually if I go anywhere where I need gizmos, I have my trench coat.
Yeah, I only take the gizmos I need. I don't take all my gizmos everywhere. But I do take all my gizmos to work and back every day, because I can and have a backpack and stuff.
So, someone fixed at least one of the problems with the Xbox.
Oh, the crashing?
Yeah, they suspended the power supply by a string, and it didn't overheat anymore.
I guess that works.
Yeah, apparently people were looking in the owner's manual, and basically the only way to actually use the Xbox correctly is to put it on a hard, cool surface away from any other object, and put the power supply on a similarly hard, cool surface far away from everything, and they can't even be near each other.
Yeah, it's so weird, because some people have the problem, and some people don't, and other people have kind of the problem, and other people, it's just crashing all over the place.
Yep, but a lot of people do.
You can't get accurate reports or numbers or anything.
It's definitely some sort of hardware overheating issue.
I heard one theory was that people were talking about how much money Microsoft loses on the Xbox 360, right?
Yeah, about $140.
Something, $126, whatever. But the point was is that guy basically did his calculations based on the normal prices of the components. And then they were talking about how Microsoft bought in bulk, and they got a discount on the components that wasn't calculated in because of how much they bought. And then they're like, maybe they bought some cheaper components than you think, in order to get the price down even more, so they make less of a loss, but maybe the cheaper components are why it's crashing.
Well, part of the problem is, honestly, computer power supplies are very unreliable. Even top-end server data center power supplies are actually pretty piss poor and fail on a fairly regular basis.
I had one fail on me, and I didn't even know that was it, but now I'm going to remember it for the rest of my life.
I've had 3 power supplies fail on me in my time as a personal computer user. 2 of them were Antex, I believe.
Antex makes power supplies?
Yeah.
Oh. So that's when I bought my new computer. I bought, like, this super NMAX thing.
At work, I've had at least 10 servers have power supplies just go or start giving bad voltage.
It seems to me that, like, the more power that something has and the more power supply it has, the more likely it is to just not work.
Actually, what goes on there is that almost every power supply, even from companies you think you'd trust that make power supplies, they really, really, really overstate the power. And when you buy a 500-watt power supply, it can really only output 300 watts reliably.
Oh, that must be why the 300-watt power supplies don't actually make the computers boot and you need to get the 400-watt one.
Yeah, unless you buy a real power supply from an actual company.
Yeah.
But those are very, very expensive because switched power supplies are very expensive.
Yeah. See, it doesn't really matter as long as they're consistent. You know, it's like, how many people who buy a 400-watt power supply for their computer actually, like, are counting the watts and all that kind of stuff? They're just trying to get something that'll make the computer boot, and as long as they know the right number to buy to make that happen, it's all good.
Though, I mean, with the Xbox, at least, it seems to be more an issue of Microsoft didn't test the Xbox in an actual environment where someone might use it.
That could be part of it. I think also some people are right in that I think a lot of the giant power supply bricks are a mixture of different parts and all kinds of crazy things to cut costs.
Yeah.
It seems very likely.
Well, the Xbox itself has its own issues.
If
you've heard reports that it's loud, that's an understatement. It's louder than my computer. My computer is a 70-pound monstrosity in a giant tower with rattling fans.
I wish there was some way we could raise your computer off the ground with a string to prevent it from overheating.
My computer doesn't actually overheat.
It beeps.
Yeah, it beeps, and I fixed that by raising the threshold at which it beeps.
I guess
thing is, my computer is fairly reliable, and yeah, I'm not buying a new one anytime soon.
Yeah, I guess.
Though if I buy a new one, I can record this cast in stereo instead of mono.
Hey, you just buy a new sound card for that.
No, my sound card does it. It just, post-production becomes really, really slow because my computer takes a long time to condense a bunch of tracks into 2 as opposed to into 1.
You know, you could just use my computer or Pete's computer. Or...
No, because the time and effort of putting all the files on your computer, doing it, and then eh.
You could use SSH and then you use some command line programs and yeah.
Yeah, I have
you
to
just,
do that.
You just don't have the skills.
No, I just have to actually do it every day. And then go over into your computer and do it, or X-forward into your computer.
You could use Pete's computer, the server.
Server's not that fast.
It's a lot faster than your computer. It's
how fast is it?
Almost as fast as my computer. I think it's like a 1.6 gigahertz, I think.
I got a 1 gigahertz.
So you got 0.6 more. Also, it's an Athlon XP, not a Thunderbird.
Yeah, so the limiter still seems to be RAM, because the CPU doesn't max out most of the time.
Oh, well, that computer also has a crap ton of RAM.
My computer has almost a gig of RAM.
Oh, well, there you go. My computer doesn't have so much, only has 512. But it's DDR400, it's real fast.
Of course, I also got a crappy Sound Blaster Live. It's actually a Platinum, yeah. It's the best Sound Blaster Live
I got
you
a
get.
Sound Blaster Live value on my computer, but I don't use it anymore. I use the Enforce thing that's on the motherboard.
Yeah, you know the value and the Platinum are the same, except they solder some things to the point of breaking them on the values.
The thing
they don't
is,
work.
I have the original value. When I bought the value, the only choices were value and gold.
Yep, there I bought the Platinum.
Platinum didn't exist.
I bought the Platinum the day it came out.
Platinum came way later, like a year later.
It wasn't that much
six
later.
6 months later.
No, it was actually
later.
Pretty quick, because the Platinum and the regular, the only difference between them is the software they come with.
Yeah, they never really changed the card that much. They just kept re-releasing it with different labels. Remember, they had like an MP3 Plus and a Game Plus.
Yeah, the only one that's different is the value, because the value is actually missing a lot of core functionality.
That's all I needed back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, it gave me my 4.1 audio. It sounded good. It was cheap. I was there.
Ah.
Nowadays, I got high-quality stuff with the onboard, whatever, with the optical and my new speakers, which do most of the work, because Linux sure as hell doesn't do the work. So I bought speakers that do it instead.
Yeah.
So, U of R developed this new thing where they can actually take pictures of retinas in people's eyeballs.
That's kind of old news, actually, but yeah, I saw that.
And apparently everyone has different cones and rods.
Yeah, didn't we talk about that already?
No, I don't think so. I never saw this before. ever.
Really? Because I thought we talked about it. Not on the podcast, just in general.
We might have talked about something related.
Nah, I'm pretty sure we talked about that itself. I'll look through my AIM log at work tomorrow.
Maybe, but I think we talked about it today on AIM.
No, we didn't.
I think we did. But anyway, the thing is that even though everyone has different cones and rods, they're pretty sure that everyone's brain kind of arrives at a very similar result despite huge differences in the cones and rods.
Yeah, we did talk about this. It's the same reason why even though you see something like a room under yellow light, you still know what color everything is. And you still see it as red, even though in terms of light, it's actually not red at all. And nothing would detect it as red, but your eye still sees it as red.
Yeah, but you'd think that people with like a bunch of red cones would see red stuff better, but maybe.
Actually, yeah, they would see it better, but they still see it as red.
Yeah. But, like, maybe they would see green stuff more poorly, but...
That's one of the reasons why women tend to have... Women actually have more rods and cones in their eyes, specifically a lot more cones. And women tend to actually be able to differentiate between colors much better than men.
Uh-huh. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, nothing wrong with my eyeballs.
Even though you didn't seem to see the microphone stand sitting right next to the other microphone stands at Radio Shack.
Hey, it has nothing to do with it. Mr. Who can't tell red from orange.
I note that in Mule, the color of the characters on the orange team is orange, not red.
There were things that are red, and you point to them and say they're orange. You point to things in Advance Wars which are red, and you say they're orange.
Nah, because if you look at the palette, they're actually orange.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
No, they're not.
Anyway... So Sony's rootkit fiasco is just getting better and better.
What the hell? This has to be over by now.
No, apparently the company that made the rootkit forum, First for Internet, someone found a couple of posts from an employee of theirs who was asking for help on these news groups. He wanted people to give him the source code to lame and like to help him write everything, and he was offering money for it.
So Sony basically hired this crap company to make something for them, and they hired a crap programmer. And that one crap programmer who didn't know what the hell he was doing ended up making the giant, giant butterfly effect type fiasco where his tiny, tiny stupidity made a huge problem for everybody.
A quote from his post. I know it sounds like I'm just after some free code due to my laziness, but I really don't have the time, and I am serious about the cash. I really need this functionality. I note that that was all one sentence.
A winner.
Yeah.
I think he's almost as big a winner as the purse snatcher.
Though I gotta say, there are a lot of bad coders out there that seem to just copy stuff from other programs and clutch it together.
You mean like all the people who barely made it through, you know, like RIT, the people who are like scraping together their projects and everything? And
yeah, or all the people in their CS4 class this year who cheated?
Oh, yeah, I heard that story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't get it. People cheat at RIT on a CS class. And at RIT, the way they do it is if you're caught cheating, the minimum punishment is an automatic F. And often they suspend or expel you.
Yep, that's what they should do.
Yep.
But, I mean, it's so obvious to any student looking at another student, like, that guy actually knows what he's doing. That guy is just doing the work and getting through, you know? It's just obvious. You don't even need to, like, I'm pretty sure it's obvious to the professors also, but they have to give the grade based on the syllabus and whatever, you know, they do. But when it's so obvious, you should just be like, look, seriously, you don't belong here. You don't know what you're doing. You don't care. You're not trying. I mean, come on. Why are you doing CS if you're not and paying $1 billion to go to RIT?
You know what? Because then the retention rate would be even lower.
Well, you just, you know, you accept more people in the first place.
But then even more of them will fail out.
Well, you make the standards real high.
That's why they keep wanting to build more dorms and everything.
Yeah.
Because they can't accept more people. They can't fit them. And even though half of them will fail out, they got
to
hold them all there for at least a week.
Standards.
But then not enough people will go, and they won't make enough money.
You either have to raise the standards to make it really hard so that all kinds of awesome people come, like, you know, at MIT and all those other high-up schools, or lower the standards and make it easier. You can't have it be hard with low standards, or else you get these dumb people doing hard stuff and not succeeding.
And you know what? Those people tend to give you money.
Yeah, but it'd be a lot better to have, you know, other people to give you money who actually stay and keep giving and giving and giving and giving and giving and giving.
Yeah, but remember, it costs a lot more per student to take care of upperclassmen in college than it does for freshmen.
But
it costs almost nothing to take care of freshmen.
If you have lots and lots of upperclassmen doing lots and lots of expensive things, you can afford to even more dorms for even more fodder freshmen who will go out.
Nah, because there's not a lot of, at least in IT.
All those research monies.
At least in IT, you know, the biggest major on campus, there's not so much useful research coming out of there.
See, that's the other thing, is you got to actually have some useful research.
There's not so much useful IT research that universities can really do anymore.
There's plenty of stuff that can still be done. There's stuff being done even today.
But a lot of it's not, no one cares about it. And even companies that are looking for technology don't care about new fields. They don't care about things like IPv6 or high bandwidth carrier lines. Most companies are still happy with their freaking T1 and their net.
Yeah, but it's not about companies. It's about getting research money from, like, you know, the national science whatevers. And
that money's drying up.
Yeah, it's, you know, money is drying up, which means fighting for it is even, you know, more competitive. So you really have to put up a fight or you're going to get dicked.
Or just accept a bunch of students and get a whole bunch of money from them instead.
But then that's not a good long-term plan, is just what I'm saying. It works, but it's not a good long-term plan. In the long term, that'll fail.
I don't know, though. It's been working for a long time.
And it's slowly, slowly not working as well.
I don't know. The attrition rate isn't getting worse. It's staying about the same.
Yeah, people are getting dumber. It's going to hurt them.
No, they'll just dumb their all the classes down.
Oh, that's what I said. They either have to make it easier. If you're going to have low acceptance.
Or what they could do is make all
easy.
If they want to be evil, make all the classes easy until the senior year. And then suddenly they get really difficult, so only the really smart people pass. And all the other people just got suckered into spending $100,000 on nothing.
I guess you could.
I see them doing that.
I don't know how that would profit for them.
How would it not profit them?
I just don't. What's the point of not giving you someone one more year? You get one more year of money out of them.
Because then people will say, oh, RIT grads are crap. Because they would be.
A lot of them are.
Yeah, but I've learned kind of scarily enough in my job workings that people from other, like people who go to learn IT or CS from a school that doesn't specialize in IT or CS, no offense to anyone out there, they often are terrible.
Yeah, the thing is like, it's so random that, you know, people just don't, basically just don't trust college graduates. You know, they only want to look at all kinds of other stuff. Some people would go to, like, a community college, right? And little do you know that that community college had, like, one genius CS professor, teacher of awesome, and all his students learned amazing things. But, you know, at some really awesome college, you can get through by slacking off. You know, and 99% of college graduate guys who come to you, they all suck.
Well, I think a lot of that is that
people, you don't trust any of them.
A lot of people in college don't have any real-world experience and really can't live on their own.
Yeah, that's another problem that comes from even before in the high school days that I don't want to get into now.
Like all the kids I remember from college whose parents visited them every weekend, or every weekend they drove back home to be with their family.
Yeah. Those kids need.
I knew one girl who her mom came and did her took her laundry and did it and brought her food so she wouldn't have to go shopping or eat in the cafeteria with anyone.
Yeah, a little problem.
Yeah, she failed out after a couple years.
That's expected. All right, so there's this guy, and he has 12 satellite dishes on his front porch.
That's dumb.
And he's getting 5,000 different radio and TV stations with it.
All right, so he's getting more media than he can possibly consume.
And he's going about to buy his 13th dish.
I think he's obsessed.
He's a 54-year-old former ice cream salesman. I think he's got a little problem.
Okay.
Unless he has, 12 TiVos. I don't think he's watching as much as he can watch.
Well, what was that statistic that more porn is made? There is more than an hour's worth of porn made every hour in the world.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah. So it is physically impossible to watch all of the pornography that has been created.
You could have multiple televisions and watch multiple porn simultaneously.
Yeah, but then you're multitasking.
If you had two penises.
Uh-huh. Though speaking of porn, this guy in Utah, Ralph Yarrow, wants to standardize, like, remember how when they wanted to make an XXX domain and put all the porn in there?
I agree with the XXX domain. It would make it easier for people who want porn to find it, and you could easily block anyone who didn't
want it. No, I disagree with it, because one, would you make a law saying porn has to go there?
Yes.
What's porn? How do you define pornography? Would a site about mammograms go there? What about something that you just disagree with? What about a girl in a short skirt? Some people are offended by people
who
don't wear a veil.
Whatever the standard is in the place you are. If you were
all right,
in,
so then you realize that if you're in Utah, all right, all the porn from Utah is in XXX, but then in Southern California, there's a bunch of stuff that you would consider porn that's not in XXX.
Yeah, so if I was in California and a site was, let's say, normally something.com, right, but in Utah that was considered porn, I would have to go to something.com.
No, that's not
XXX.
Workable at all.
Why not?
One, you're going to make every... who decides what's porn? So someone who has a website... say I'm in Southern California and they don't care about it. And I have a porn site and it's something.com. Mm-hmm. You're saying I have to buy an XXX specifically for other places?
No, it's up to the other places to put you an XXX in their places.
What do you mean the other places put you an XXX?
As in...
basically, you want them to give you a free domain...
No, it's if they want to make me XXX in their state, then they have to take .com and make it XXX.
You
in
can't
their
do
state.
That.
Why not?
That's not how it works, Scott. That's not how DNS works.
Well, that's tough.
There's
if you can't do it that way, you can't do it.
Yeah, there's no technical way to do it. Plus, there would still be... besides, if you did that, all right, fine. So it routes it. So if you go .xxx, it takes you .com. The .com would still work.
Hmm.
I don't think you understand how DNS works, because that is an absolutely impossible thing to do.
Maybe we should upgrade to IPv6.
There's no way to... that has nothing to do with DNS at all, you realize.
How about just people who consider themselves to be porn? I mean, people who are porn sites want it, because it'll make people find them easier.
Yeah, but they'll also keep their .coms. The only people who've advocated for this seriously are people who think they can make laws that'll force all porn to be on XXX and nowhere else under penalty of law. That way they can block XXX, but that's impossible.
If it was easy to define porn, it would work, but,
you can't
with
define
different
porn.
Standards for porn in different places, you know.
Yeah, hence, it's an unworkable idea.
It would be workable if you let me decide what was porn and what wasn't, because I could decide pretty easily.
That's just
oh,
silly.
Look, there's naked. It's basically, hey, are guys or girls going to look at this for the purpose of getting it off? Yes, no.
But so, why should porn have its own domain? Why is porn special?
To make it easier to find.
Google.
It's still, it's still not easy to find porn.
Anyway, this guy has about the same understanding of ports as you do of DNS, apparently. He wants there to be a porn port. Apparently, he found out that there's 65,535 ports on a computer that you access the interwebs with. And apparently he figured that right now everything comes in through this one port. It's like a channel, channel 80. Why is porn coming in the same channel as kids' entertainment? There should be a separate channel for porn. There's 65,000 channels, and most of them aren't being used. We should set up a channel for porn, a channel for education, a channel for blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
In other words, this guy has probably got the least understanding of internet architecture of anyone I've ever heard of.
Well, I guess what we could do is we could have all web servers serving porn sites run on port 8,000 instead of 80.
You realize that's also silly.
I know, but that's what he wants, right? Yeah.
He calls his initiative CP80, or Clean Port 80.
He is stupid. He does not know about IP and
quote,
TCP.
So why aren't more of the 65,000 plus ports being used for content? There's a plentiful amount of channels out there. Why are we not making adult content and assigning it to its own channel? Doesn't that make sense?
No, because the ports aren't channels.
No.
That's not a synonymous analogous thing, congruity.
Yep.
Equality.
Plus the fact that most corporate firewalls block everything but port 80 anyway, and almost every bad thing in the world has been made to just proxy through port 80.
Yeah, see, the thing is, some people manage their corporate firewalls really well. They say...
Your company doesn't.
My company does not. But most companies say anything can go out, nothing can come in.
Yeah, I got to say,
that's all
IBM,
you have to do. That's the only setting you need. Anything can go out, nothing can come in.
What about servers you have?
If you have a server, you put it in the DMZ.
All right. What if you want to dial in? Got a VPN set up?
You have a little separate... VPN.
And I assume you mean stateful, because if you set up access lists where anything can go out and nothing can come in, nothing could get out either, because you'd send a ping out and the reply would never get back to you.
Well, okay, but no incoming requests for connection.
Yeah, yeah.
If I
stateful.
Connect to a web server and then it sends me back the web page. It gets through.
Yeah, you realize that's pretty much if you set up a PIX Cisco firewall. If you do it the basic way, that's the default.
Yeah.
And the only way you'll have a crappier corporate firewall is if you go out of your way to make it bad.
Basically, they went out of their way to basically do a bunch of hacky stuff to make a bunch of these weird proprietary things they've got do weird stuff, and it basically screws everything up.
That sounds really dubious to me, because there aren't many things that do weird things using ports.
They use just crazy freaking weird softwares, and they're not 100% awesome. If you came in there, you could clean it up probably real easily.
Because seriously, I don't even need to know what the application is. If you want something to go through a firewall, and you don't know anything about it, run it. Run Ethereal.
They also
look
use
at what
the
it's
firewall.
Doing.
The firewall is this SonicWall thing. It's basically, there's a piece of software called SonicWall.
Oh, God, if you want to run a firewall, you buy a router and you put access lists on
it. So they bought this thing. It's a SonicWall firewall. It's basically this piece of hardware that runs this software, right? It's as if you – it's like kind of like the Google Box, only it runs this firewall software. And it has a web interface and everything like that. And they just tinker with this thing, and it does all kinds of things that firewalls aren't supposed to do. Like, you can block porn with it, even though they turned that off after it basically blocked every internet site there was.
All right, so this sounds like a kludgy, slow, terrible thing.
It's not slow, it's just misconfigured because the people handling it aren't perfect awesome.
Wait a minute, but how does it block porn?
It looks at the content?
You mean it takes apart the HTTP and looks for, like, keywords?
If you turn that feature on, yeah, it looks for...
Do you know how slow that is?
Yeah, it's slow if you turn that on.
Yeah.
This thing isn't great, trust me. But it's not so... The thing could be great if they didn't mess it up. Well, it wouldn't be great. It would be a normal, perfectly normal firewall.
Well, my consulting rate is $75 an hour if they want me to fix everything.
They don't want you to fix everything. They think everything's working.
All right.
All right, so here's an awesome thing. This is pretty awesome.
Is this your thing of the day?
No.
What?
All right, so there's a game called Call of Duty 2. It's an army game, right?
All right.
And as the case with many multiplayer online type games, the users are complaining.
What are they complaining about?
Their number one complaint is legitimate in that the developers have not made any sort of anti-cheat anything. So cheating is basically rampant.
All right, like Counter-Strike was for most of its existence.
Like Counter-Strike was for most of its existence. Except now, I think they do have a reasonable expectation that there should be anti-cheating systems, because most big games do. Right?
Yeah, though there are ways around that. You just only play with people you know. Or like the Clan of the Fossil Rockers was good back in the day. Back when people cheated just completely and there was no way to stop them. There was this clan where pretty much all the only people who were in it were cool people and cool people recommended by cool people. And all their servers were password protected and you were guaranteed to get a good game if you went to one of their servers.
Well, that's cool. But these people have found an okay solution. I'm not sure what I think about it yet, but they're going to have... Oh, excuse me. All of the servers that are in on it are going to strike. It's not a game like World of Warcraft where the developer runs the servers. It's like Counter-Strike where the servers are all run by users. So a bunch of the servers, in fact, a very, very large portion of them, are just going to keep their servers on but change them to say they're on strike and not allow any users to use them.
Huh.
So when people log in to play the game, they're going to see this list of servers that all say on strike with no one playing.
That's a good idea, because I got to say, I've learned that...
It basically destroys the game.
Especially since that'll really work well, just because it seems to be that the types of people who run servers for games like that tend to be the type of people that organize themselves, and they all seem to know each other pretty well, and it's real easy to spread the word about something like that.
Yep. So they're going to shut down all the servers for 24 hours, and hopefully that will encourage the developers and the people who run the game, and the publisher or whatever, to develop an anti-cheat system and meet some other demands, or else their game is going to be pretty poopy, as anyone who tries to play it from now on won't have a server to go to.
Yeah, yeah.
It's basically like either you make your game better or we'll kill your game and you won't make any more money off of it.
Well, I wish them the best of luck.
Yeah. Way to go.
Thing of the day.
Okay.
Thing of the day.
Thing of the day!
Thing of the day.
Is my thing.
What's your thing?
So I saw this. It's pretty funny. Today wasn't really that exciting.
No, it wasn't. Oh, my God.
So people make fun of the family circus, which isn't hard to make fun of.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, And I'm not one to say something's objectively bad, but Family Circus as a comic or as literature or as a waste of ink on paper is probably the worst, like, least entertaining thing I've ever experienced.
I must say, I mildly enjoy the
And
one.
I was shot at once, yeah. So...
I must say, though, I do mildly enjoy the Family Circuses with the dotted line and he runs around the yard and stuff.
Oh, I enjoyed it once, the first time it was done.
Well,
it's
because in those, at least you can look at all the interesting little, like, funny things that he does along the line. Like, oh, look, he jumped over the pool.
Well, I never thought
look,
I'd be in a position where you, Mr. Everything is Crap, was defending Family Circus.
No, all the rest of Family Circus is pretty much 99.99% crap.
But you defend it a little bit. It's like saying, yeah, Hitler was a bastard, but he didn't personally kill a baby.
Well, he was. He was evil, but he was smart. It's like, you know, Stalin was paranoid, but he stayed in power long.
Oh, God, I heard this. It wasn't really a joke the other day. It was just a
Everyone's
conversation.
Good at something.
But someone was talking, and they're like, what if Hitler actually went to art school and graduated and became a mass murderer anyway? And someone else was like, it'd be even worse. It would have been a slightly more pretentious Hitler.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, someone remixed the Family Circus with our good buddy H.P. Lovecraft.
Cthulhu Fatagan!
Yeah.
Ah, really, yeah.
So it's pretty funny. You got these comics named, let's see, this one's named Muggleworth.
Ooh, I see one named Fatagan and then one named Fatagan.
Oh, my God. Okay, the site was a little broken there for a second. Here's one called Bomber. I can't pass that up.
Okay.
So there's a picture of the dad in the car with the little girl next to him, and the girl is, like, rubbing her eye, and her eyes are closed. She seems kind of like, oh. And it says, amidst a blinding glare of descending fire, the voice of heaven resounded with the blasphemies of hell, and the mingling agony of all the lost reverberated in one apocalyptic planet rendering peal of cyclopean din.
Yay! Yay! Cthulhu Fatagan.
And the girl's like, whoa! Sorrow.
You know, it makes me very happy that H.P. Lovecraft's work have gained such a foothold in geek culture.
Yeah, I didn't even know who he was before I went to college.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess my mom...
Never even heard of it.
My
ever.
Mother was really into horror writing and science, like dark science fiction type writing. Like, she was a fan of Stephen King and all those people.
Nah.
But she always loved H.P. Lovecraft. And at a very young age, she gave me Tales of Horror and the Macabre. And I was hooked on Cthulhu from a very young age.
Never even heard of it until...
Wow.
Didn't even know what it was. And then people were like, Lovecraft, Cthulhu. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
But, I mean, it's gotten to the point where every gaming store that has even any sort of respectability has multiple Cthulhu-related dolls or plushies.
That's because there's that Cthulhu game. There's multiple Cthulhu games, you know.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, we actually played the Cthulhu role-playing game once. Did a little one-off.
Well, we did also play Poke-Thulu.
Oh, Poke-Thulu! That game was fantastic.
It was a good game.
It was Pokemon plus Cthulhu. No more need be said.
I liked it. I think I'd like to play it again.
Ah.
All right.
So, my thing of the day, remember a long time ago, they had this car that had, like, this magic suspension with solenoids that would, like, make it go over potholes or over stuff?
Well, it basically shoved the tires into holes and made other tires go up if the other tires were going to hit a bump, and it kept the car as level as could be done.
Yep. Well, it's back, and it's badass now. Bose made a system that's like that, only 1,000 times better, and they're going to put it in some new, like, luxury Lexus cars eventually.
Yeah, why are they putting it in this luxury car? So you need
because it costs $5,000.
Okay, but why don't you put it in a race car?
I don't know. I think it takes a lot of power. I think it actually hurts the gas mileage.
Oh, does it hurt? Yeah.
There's not a lot of
But if you're in a
yet.
Race car that's not worried about gas mileage, like a rally car doesn't need to worry about gas. It just goes down the hill once or twice, you know?
Yeah, well, it depends. I mean, there's not much information yet, but they've got pictures. And apparently this car will drive over a 2x6 piece of wood and various other bits of debris without, like, the driver won't even notice.
Yeah.
You could run over a small child, not even
that
notice.
That would definitely help out, I think, monster trucks. It would help out motorcycles that drive, like, motocross-type things that drive in the dirt.
Yeah.
BMX-type motocross-type things. And it would help out rally cars huge. Rally cars.
It'll help out drivers in Rochester, Buffalo, and Detroit, you know, a.k.a. pothole cities.
Yep, it'll help them out. I don't think it'll help out someone like Formula One or NASCAR or anything.
Nah. But in Formula One, they could drive over that red and white bit at the edge without going butta, 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 butta.
Maybe. I don't think it doesn't matter because that doesn't really slow them down.
Man, they should just bring back the vacuum cars.
Yeah, so everyone can die again.
Yeah, but you know what? That's the risk you take. You got a super license. You're rich.
It's called, first of all, the cars are called ground effects. And second of all, people stop driving them because they were so dangerous.
What they need
to do is make the car as fast as it can be where they can still find someone who's willing to drive it, who's good. I mean, they can always find someone crazy.
I was about to say, you can find anyone to do just about anything. The problem is finding someone to do anything well.
Basically, what they do is they just take the current racers, and if the current racer says, this car is too fast, I won't drive it, then it's too fast, they won't drive it. If the car is, you know, not fast enough, then they'll say it's not fast enough.
Because isn't even Schumacher lately is like, the cars are too slow.
Well, it's like, you know, one guy says, the cars are too fast. Another guy says, oh, the cars are too slow. Well, it's all because one guy can handle it, one guy can't, you know? They have some people getting these things, and there were a lot of people complain that with all the technology that goes into them, that it basically driving Formula One is like a video game. Anyone can do it, whatever. Meanwhile, people who test drive these things are like, damn, that's too fast, I can't drive that, oh my God. You know, it's just the literal speed and acceleration of the car is more than people can handle. It's like a feat. Like, you need to wait until you get, like, five levels, you get another feat, drive F1.
Yeah. Well, I can imagine, because when I was real young, I went to Space Camp. Actually, I went to Space Academy, because I was a little too old for Space Camp. Mm-hmm. And we got to go in the gravity simulator. You know the thing, they spin you around, you make funny faces?
Yep.
And up around 5-6 Gs, it's real hard to do anything.
Yeah, you know, F1 is basically like you go into a turn, it's 5 G's at your back, and then it's a chicane, so you turn left real quick, and it's 5 G's in the other direction.
Yep.
You know, it's pretty crazy. Multiple G's changing all the time as you turn, speed up, slow down.
Though there is one thing that is actually harder and more G's than that, you know, flying a fighter jet.
Yeah, they actually mentioned fighter jets on this F1 podcast.
Yeah, though the difference is, the reason fighter jets don't just pass out immediately.
Don't they have, like, suits and things?
Yeah,
and
but what the flight suit does is it actually puts pressure on the body, like on the abdomen, to keep the blood from spilling out of the head and into the abdomen. So the blood stays in the brain and you stay conscious.
I guess that's good.
It squeezes you real hard.
All right.
It's actually kind of painful. I didn't actually get to do it, but I got to wear a flight suit as part of a cool thing we did.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? It sucks. Don't ever fly a fighter jet. It sucks.
You know, once I saw this lady who was like the morning talk show TV lady fly like an F-15, and she seemed to be having a good time.
Yeah, well, if you just fly it around, I mean, fighter jets, modern fighter jets are so computer controlled that other than landing, pretty much an idiot could fly them.
You see, that's what they were talking about with F1, is that's why they compared it to the fighter jet, because people complained when they were getting too computer-controlled and too easy to drive. But the reality was, no, it's even though it might seem like that, it's really hard.
Yep. But the thing is, it's easy to fly a fighter jet in a straight line or to do a little turn, but if you're actually fighting or flying hard, you'll just pass out and die.
Probably.
Unless you're trained.
Yep. Or unless you spend a lot of time in the sim.
Of course, it's not like the U.S. military has ever really fought against anyone else who had fighter jets. Not since the Korean War.
Little MiGs.
Yeah, in the Korean War. That was the last time our Air Force engaged another Air Force.
Yeah, the thing is, Air Forces really aren't designed to take on Air Forces so much.
Well, fighter jets are.
Designed to take on other forces.
Fighter jets exist pretty much purely for air superiority, to make sure that no one else has anything in the sky.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, is though, why would you even put a plane in the sky in the first place? Well, it's not to blow up another plane, because if your planes are only to blow up other planes, and that's it, just no one puts any planes up. You know?
Well, that's why you have multiple kinds. You have the bombers,
right?
But then you have the fighter jets.
The real goal is to have the bomber succeed in bombing something.
Yeah, but that's
fighter
what air
jets are, so the bomber doesn't get blown up by the other fighter jet.
You do realize that's what air superiority is. All it means is you have fighter jets up that ensure that no one else can take off a fighter jet, thus no one else can take off anything.
Yep, but a little AA on the ground takes out the whole thing.
Actually, no, because our technology is so advanced that any country we've ever fought didn't even have effective AA.
But I mean, AA is so cheap, you could just have so much of it that it doesn't matter how technologically.
But it just doesn't work, because you just cruise missile it.
I guess, but if you have cruise missiles, what do you even need the bombers for?
Because the bombers are more precision. Cruise missiles are not as accurate as the media would like you to believe.
Oh, they seem pretty accurate to me.
They're really not.
In Civ 2, they're really accurate. They don't miss.
Yeah, they don't miss. They never cause a civilian casualty ever. They just destroy whatever unit you wanted to destroy.
Well, it destroys the topmost unit in the city, because why would you put it anywhere but a city?
I've used it to take out guys that were standing in front of cities.
Okay, if the city is completely surrounded, I need to clear a path.
I once used one to take out a transport full of troops that was going towards my capital. And that was Geek Nights with Rim and Scott. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for the opening music.
Thanks for listening. Please remember to point your favorite podcatcher at feeds.feedburner.com/geeknights to get the latest episodes as soon as they're released. Also, please visit our website at www.frontrowcrew.com for the latest updates and forum discussions. And whether you love or hate our podcast, we won't know unless you send your feedback to us at geeknights@gmail.com.